The senior Rebbe in the yeshiva is Rabbi Yankelevich. He's in the other building on the fifth floor in 508. He's over 100 years old. He learned in Europe in Miri Yeshiva and other yeshivas. And it's kedai just to meet him and to say hello, to wish him a tziva shlema toyah. Whoever has a chance could go say hello. He was my Rebbe before my bar mitzvah, long time ago. This week, Parshas Ki Sova, there's a double kiyum in the Kriyas HaTorah. First of all, of course, it's the Parshas HaShavua. We learn Parshas Ki Sova. And secondly, the Gemara says, Ezra made a takana that we should learn the Teuchach in B'chukaisah before Shavuos and the Teuchach and Ki Sova before Rosh Hashanah. Tosis points out that we don't learn the Teuchach the Shabbos immediately preceding Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, we rather learn the Teuchecha, the penultimate Shabbos, the second Shabbos before Shavuos, and the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says the reason for the Takana was that you have the Brachas of Klolos, Tich L'Shana V'Kilol Seho, Toch L'Shana B'Choy Seho. We want all the curses to belong to the old year. The Gemara says we understand why this is so regarding Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. Why do we consider Shavuos Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says that Shavuos is the Atzeres Nidoidim HaPeres of Elam. In a certain sense, Abba Rosh Hashanah, it's also Rosh Hashanah. So Shavuos, since the Gzardin is on Peres of Elam, that's also in a certain sense Rosh Hashanah. The commentaries on the Gemara bothered with Akasha, that this Takana Sezra makes sense if you have the practice that you have an annual cycle. You finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah from the beginning to the end every year, and you celebrate the completion of the Kriyas HaTorah on Simchas Torah. So it works out that B'chukosah will be second Shabbos before Shavuos, and Kisova will be the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara says, in the days of the Gemara, this was the practice in Bavel. And they celebrated Simchas Torah once a year, every year. But in Eretz Yisrael, the practice was that they had a three-year cycle. So they would lay one-third of Bereshis one Shabbos, the second third of Bereshis the next Shabbos, the third third of Bereshis the next Shabbos, and the first third of Noach the next Shabbos. So it took 3 years. So it's not going to turn out. And they only had Simchas Torah once every 3 years. So what do you mean Ezra made a takana that they should lay in the Teuchach before Shavuos? The other Teuchecha before Rosh Hashanah, it's simply not going to work out. So the Meforshim and the Gemara point out, no, this is a separate Takana. It has nothing to do with the cycle of Kriyas HaTorah. Even if you have the three-year cycle, just like Parsha Zohar, is not part of the cycle. The Shabbos before Purim is Parsha Zohar, and you have Parsha Sparah, and you have Parsha Zachayrish, Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the Teuchecha is a separate Takana. We kill two birds with one stone. We have the one-year cycle, so it turns out, b'mikre, that we yotze both, that in b'chukaisa it's both the Parshas HaShavua and Takana Sezra to lay in the Teuchecha b'chukaisa before Shavuos, and Parshas Kisava, it's both the Parshas HaShavua and the Takana Sezra to lay in this Teuchecha. There are several differences between the two Teuchechets. One difference is that the Teuchecha in b'chukaisa, everything is written in plural. That's how Imlich Koisai Telecha, which means Koisai Tishmoru. Asi Samoisam, everything is in the plural. And here everything is in the singular. Itencha Hashem Nigov, Lefnehoisa Nivloscha Lamachal, don't say Nivloschem. Vayisam Imashesh Bat Soharim, don't say Vayisam Imashashim. Everything is in the singular. When you have an idea in the Chumash that appears in two places, once in the singular, once in the plural, what is that indicate? So the Gemara quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifra, from the Sifrei, that you have Sfiras Omer appears twice. It appears in Parshas Amor, then it's in Chumash Vayikra, then it's repeated in Parshas Re'ei, in Chumash Dvarim. Once it's written in the singular, Shuvah Shuvah Tisbaloch, the other time it's written in the plural, Svartem Lachem. So the Gemara says, Usvartem Lachem, and the plural has the connotation of Sfir Lachalechad V'yechod. And the plural means that each and every individual person has to count Sfira. Shiva Shavuos Tispaloch, and the singular sounds like it's one chiyav on all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is one entity, and the Bez Nagodol should do it. Sounds like the Bez Nagodol should do the Sfira. So that's what the Tanoim point out, isn't there a problem? Shiva Shavuos Tispaloch means Sfira B'Bezin. Bez Nagodol counts on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So the kol yachid v'yachid is not mechuyev. No, tamalayim esvar tam lachem. So what do you do with Shiv Shavuos Tispalach? You just said it's in the singular because it has to do with Bez Nagar. So the Gemara says, no, it's a Svira Hatluya Bebezn. That it's up to the Bez Nagar to determine when you start counting Svira. That the Tzedukim, the Zman Abayis, they had Asokim, the Zman Baisheni, they had Asokim with the Tzedukim, who didn't accept the Torah Shabbal Peh. So they said, Mimrochas HaShabbos, you always start counting Sfira from Sunday, and it's 7 full weeks from Sunday to Shabbos, and Shavuos is always an extended weekend. Shavuos is always going to be on a Sunday. And that's what the Catholics later picked up, a lot of shtick from the Tzdukim. So the Catholics also have Pentecost as the holiday of the 50th day, Pentecost, so it's always on a Sunday. And the Gemara says that the Tzdukim were arguing with Rabbi Yechiman Zaka, he was the chief rabbi. Rechem Azaka was the chief rabbi for 40 years before the Churban Abayis and after the Churban Abayis. Part was Bizman Abayis, part was after the Churban Abayis. The Gemara had a tradition that he lived about 120 years. In the first 40 years of his life, he made money and then he retired. At the age of 40, he retired. Then he sat down to learn from the age of 40 to the age of 80. Then at the age of 80, they appointed him chief rabbi to the age of 120. The last 40 years of his life, he was a chief rabbi. The Gemara says that he had the privilege to debate the issue with the Tzdukim about Sfira Soimer. So they presented it as if Moshe Rabbeinu Oiv Yisrael Hoy, as if Moshe Rabbeinu made up all the laws in the Torah, as if they didn't believe in the Torah Ben HaShemayim. They said Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, and Sukkot is a whole week long a holiday, and Pesach is a whole week long, and Shavuot is only one day. So how are you going to celebrate one day? So Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, so he made it an extended weekend. You take off Shabbos from work, and you take off Sunday. So you have 2 days in a row, so that makes it better. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, oy v'sol hoya, and that's why he instituted that Shavuot should always be on a Sunday. So Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai disagreed with them. According to the tradition, Sfiras Omer, Mimrochas HaShabbos doesn't mean it begins on a Sunday, it means it begins the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. So how did he prove that they're wrong? So the Gemara, we have a tradition that's what it means. That's the Masorah has it that Merchas HaShabbos means the day after Yom Tov Pesach, first day Chol Hamoed. How can you tell from the text of the Chumash that it's wrong? So the Gemara has different indications. So one of them is that it says Shiv Shavuos Tispalach in the singular. So it doesn't mean that Bez Nagadol does the Sfira. It means Sfira Hatluya BeBezin. That Bez Nagadol tells us when to start counting Sfira. If you always start counting Sfira on a Sunday, so we know when Shabbos is. Every 7 days of Shabbos, you ask any non-Jew in the street, everybody knows when Shabbos is and when Sunday is. So you don't need Bez Nagadol to tell you. If you say Sfira Saim, it begins when the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach, that's up to the Bez Nagadol to determine when is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Depends Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Ariya. Any given month can either have 29 days or 30 days. So it's up to the Bez Nagadol to put, you don't need the whole Bez Nagadol. Bez Nagadol has to authorize a Bezna of three to determine whether it's a Shana Pshuta, Shana Muberes, whether Pesach should be this month or next month, and which day should be Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Memele. The Bez Nagadol will determine when is the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. That's how the Gemara presents it. The old Girsa in the Sifra and in the Sifra was that there are two different mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah in the Bez Nagadol to count Shiva Shivas Tispalach, Bez Nagadol should count Sfir Saimer as representing all of Klal Yisrael. Then there's another mitzvah that call Yochid V'Yochid, not just Sfira Hatluya V'Bezin. But the Vilna Gaon changed it both in the Sifra and in the Sifra. Both in the Sifra and the Pasuk in Amor, and in the Sifra and the Pasuk in Re. The old Girsa was that there are two different mitzvahs, and some of the Rishonim Beferish had that Girsa. That there's one mitzvah of Sfira Saimer and the Bez Nagadol, and one mitzvah of Sfira Saimer, I'll call Yochid V'Yochid. And the Vilna Gaon changes the Girsa that it should say Yochid V'Bez Nagadol, Tamalayma, that it's not. Why does it say Tispaloch in the singular? What does it have to do with Bez Nagadol? Sfir Hatluya BeBezn. Bez Nagadol determines. But I'll call upon him, that's what you see from that Gemara, the Gemara quoting the Sifron, the Sifrei. Whenever you have a parsha that appears twice in the Chumash, once in the singular, once in the plural, so when it appears in the plural, it's implying Lochalechad V'Yechad, each and every individual person. And when it appears in the singular, it means it's speaking about Klal Yisrael as a whole. So here also, the Teucheche in B'chukaisai appears in the plural, because before they entered Eretz Yisrael, that Teucheche was recited, the Brochas and the Klalas were recited at Maimon HaSinai. That's how it says in the concluding pasuk. Yelach hukim amishpatim ha'taros oshenos ha'nashem beinu ha'beimun ha'yisrael b'har Sinai b'yad Moshe. That's the concluding pasuk in the Teichach in Mechukosai. That's not the end of Mechukosai. That's at the end of Shlishi in Mechukosai. Then comes Revi. but that's the concluding pasuk. That Teichach was recited. The theme of the Teichach is Brachas. The theme is Chavi Yonish. That it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs. If you do the mitzvahs, you get a reward. If you don't do the mitzvahs, garnish, you don't get the lollipop, you don't get the ice cream. No. If you don't keep the mitzvahs, you'll be punished. If you do the mitzvahs, you get schar. And if you do averis, you don't keep the mitzvahs, then there's going to be schar v'yonish. So that Teichach was recited at Har Sinai. So at the occasion of Har Sinai, we didn't yet fully have a concept of Klal Yisrael. The people were really called Yochid v'Yochid. So that's why everything is written b'loshen rabim. It's l'chol yochid v'yochid. The second teichach in Kisavai ends off with the pasuk. Similar to that pasuk. Eled dibre habris asher tziv Hashem es Moshe lichros es b'nei Yisrael be'eretz Moav melvad habris asher korasitam b'choreb. This Christmas bris was made and Arvis Moav, as they were about to cross over the Yarden to enter Eretz Yisrael. When they entered Eretz Yisrael, then the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael is completed. In order to have a nation, you have to have a national homeland. They have to relate to a country. So when they crossed over the Yarden, and then they did the Brachas HaKlalas at Hagrizim and Harevel, the 11 Arurim, Brachas HaKlalas, so that's the Gemara said, that's when Klal Yisrael Harevim Zebezeh set in. Until the Brachas HaKlalas at Hagrizim and Harevel, there wasn't yet the concept of Orvus. Why? Because there wasn't a full tziruf of a Jewish nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu presents the second Teichach as they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. This Teichach, this Brachas HaKlalas, this bris is with the Tzibur as a nation, as an Umma HaYisraelis. So that's why it's written, B'loshen Yochid, you can speak to the Tzibur as an entity, as one entity. As opposed to the Krisis Bris and HaSinai, there wasn't yet an entity of a Tzibur. They were called Yochid V'Yochid. That's one difference that you see.
Did the Tzedukim say that there was 49 days of Sfira and then Shavuos was on the 49th day?
And no, on the 50th day. They start counting Sfira always on a Sunday through a Shabbos. This is 1 week. All the weeks are calendaric weeks. And then Shavuos is always going to be on a Sunday, like the Catholics picked up later, that Pentecost is always on a Sunday. Pentecost, the holiday of the 50th day. Hagrizim Ahareva, right. That's when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, the Rabbanu Shalom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Krisis Bris, but he wanted the Krisis Bris to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Tziruf of the Tzibur is when they cross over the Yarden, but Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So how are we going to accomplish this? So you had Moshe Rabbeinu began the Krisis Bris, and Yeshua ben Nun continued it. So it really wasn't Chal the Orbitz, Kolis al Reb Mazeb Mazeb wasn't Chal till they had the 11 Brachas HaKlalas HaHagriz Maharevel, but it was begun with Moshe Rabbeinu on the occasion of the reciting of the Teichach and Kisavai. So this is one difference between the two. This is the pasuk. Why was there a need for another Krisis Bris? This is over and above the Bris that was made at Har Sinai. Har Chorb is Har Sinai, and that Krisis Bris is mentioned in Bechukasa. Why was there a need for another Krisis Bris? So the pasuk in the beginning of next week's Sedra explains. Lo yitchem levatchem in the beginning of Nitzavim. Lo yitchem levatchem anochi kareses habris hazos v'sal hazos. Ki es asher yeshtem po imanu oimid hayom lefnei Hashem al kenu es asher enenem po imanu oimid hayom. The first Krisis Bris was made with Yechidim. So whoever wasn't there is not bound by the Krisis Bris. The Gemara says that the neshamas of all of the Jewish people are going to be born in the later generations. All the neshamas were there. But you can't make a Krisis Bris with the neshamas. The Gemara says the fact that the neshamas were there had an effect on the neshamas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in the presence of the whole Klal Yisrael. Babu Yishmaham B'Dabri Yimach V'Gam B'Cho Yaminu Li'Olam. And all of the Gilu Shechina that occurred in Maimon HaSinai was L'Man Tiras Yiras Al Penechem L'Vilti Sachato. They should have an effect of Yerushalayim. So the effect of implanting Yirat Shamayim on everyone, and the effect that everyone should be present and see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Gam B'choy Yamin Aliyolam, that effect took place even on the neshamas who were there. But you can't make a Krisus Bris, it's not legally binding on neshamas. So the Krisus Bris at Har Sinai was only binding on the people who were there at Har Sinai. Why are we today, in Shnas Tav Shinai and Aleph, why are we still obligated to observe the mitzvahs? It's not really because of the Bris at Har Sinai. We are the Doris HaBoim. So Rashi in the beginning of Nitzavim comments on the Pasuk. He's quoting Agmar and Shavuos. Lo yitchem levatchem anochi kareis ki yis asher enenu poim oimed hayoim on the Doris HaBoim. We are obligated today to observe the Torah mitzvahs because of the second Krisus Bris, because of the Bris in Arvis Moyav, not because of the Bris at Har Sinai. Why? Because we're part of that Umma HaYisraelis. The original Bris was with Yechidim. So we weren't there. Anashamas were there. So there was an effect of Yerushamayim. Amanti Rasi al Panechem Levilti Sachato. And there was an effect, and the Neshamas were affected. It was impressed upon our Neshamas at that time. But legally binding Krisus Bris has to be with the real people. So any country that makes a treaty with another country, see, even after 100 years and everybody who was alive 100 years ago dies, the treaty is binding on all the Doris HaBoim also, because the country is a hemshech from what it was before, unless they had a revolution and they made a new government. But in a country where there's a hemshechius, you have a president, and the president, they elect a new president, and then 4 years later they elect another new president, and so on and so forth. So the country 100 years later is a hemshech from the days of George Washington. The United States is a hemshech. So any treaty that George Washington made is binding on all the Doris HaBoim because it's a hemshech of that country. So here also, the Krisus Bris made at the Arvis Moyav, which was begun at Arvis Moyav and completed in Hagriz Maharevo, that Krisus Bris was made with the whole nation, the Umma HaYisraelis. That's why it's in the singular. So that's binding on the Doris HaBoim, because we all belong to that Umma HaYisraelis. So this is one distinction that you have between the two, that the second Krisus Bris was made with the nation. That's why everything appears in the singular, and that's why it's binding on the Doris HaBoim. The Gemara points out in Megillah there's another difference between the two Krisus Bris, that the first one, in Bechukosai, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is speaking himself. In Bechukosai Teilechu. He doesn't say, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. Im Telcha Bechukos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. V'shavarti Ezgon Ischem. I will do. V'yasapti L'yaser Eschem. I will punish you. Everything is Rabbanu. V'hedesi. The Rebbeinu Shlom is speaking from the beginning to the end. As opposed to Kisavai, the Rebbeinu Shlom is not speaking. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking the whole time. It doesn't say Bikoli. Everything is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. So the Gemara says that's why the curses in Mechukosai, the Klolos, are more chomer than the Klolos in Kisavai. The Mishnah has in Megillah, Aloche, Eim afsikim b'tochochos. When you lay in the tochochem b'chukosai, you're not allowed to make hoisofis. The gaboim sometimes like to make a lot of hoisofis to make more money for the shul, on the mishaberach, or whatever reason they have. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to make apsokas, not allowed to make hoisofis in the middle of the tochoche. Why? So the Gemara has two reasons. So the Gemara has one famous reason, the Gemara, machlekes amaroim, and the Medrash has the Medrash Rabbah has the same two opinions. So the famous explanation is that whoever gets an aliyah has to say Baruch Hu Hashem Amvayrach. So the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want that she'aniyah yemiz barech u'bana yu miskavalim. They should say a bracha to me Baruch Hu Hashem Amvayrach, and then they should read curses. So that's why you should start, the aliyah should begin with the brachas, and you should finish after all the curses are all over. You shouldn't say a bracha right next to a klala. So the Gemara comments in Maseches Megillah on that Mishnah, Eim Avsikim B'Tochoches, that's only, strictly speaking, in the Tochochem B'Chukosah. The Tochochem Kisavai, if you want to, you may make Hapsokas, you may make Hoysofas, because it's not the Rebbeinu Shalom speaking. It's not that he's cursing us. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying the curse. Moshe Mipiatzmai Amora. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it. What kind of a lotion is that? So it's not as Chom. What do you mean, Moshe Rabbeinu Mipiatzmai? Moshe Rabbeinu invented all the curses. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on the Rabbi Tzala Ranchberg that we had on Yevamos.
The
Gemara said, we were just learning it this week. Gemara said that according to the Tana Rabbi Yudah, Dalet Amud Alef, there's a Tana Rabbi Yudah, not all the Tanaim agree with him, but according to the Tana Rabbi Yudah, you only darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah, and the rest of the four chumashim you don't darshan smuchim. Why? So Gemara said either because of Mufne or because of Muchach. So Rabbi Tzal Ranchburg quoted a girsa from the Ravon. We don't exactly have this in the Gemara, but this is the way he understood the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he dies, is transmitting the whole Torah Shebaal Peh to Bnei Yisrael. That's a Gemara in Nedorim on Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara says, originally, Mitchila la nitn Torah ela Moshe ulezara. The original plan was that Rabban Shlom is going to give the Torah only to Moshe Rabbeinu, he can keep it for his descendants. He doesn't have to share it with anybody else. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabban Shlom committed to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell all the Bnei Yisrael, all the dinim. What do you mean? Mitchila la nitn Torah ela Moshe ulezara. Gemara says, no, we mean pilpula shel Torah. I mean, what we learn. We learn Gemara with Tosfos, with the Rambam, and we figure out how to establish dinim. And we make connections, you know. We don't just study Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara says, the original plan was, Moshe Rabbeinu has to teach the Tzibur Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, just the Piskei Halachos, and the right to know how to darshan psukim, how to establish dinim. If he wanted to, he could have kept that for himself and only transmitted it to his children. So only the descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the experts to figure out what the Psak Halacha is. Everyone would have to come to them to ask, what's the din and how do you establish a din? Moshe Rabbeinu was a kind-hearted fellow. He was Noik Toibasai. And he shared it with everybody else. Why should he keep it for himself? He shared it with everybody else. So the Gemara says, originally the plan was that he had a right to keep it. And then the Gemara says, Pilpula Shel Torah. The Pilpula Shel Torah, how to establish halachas, that was originally intended that it should only be for Moshe Rabbeinu Amatona. And then he was Noik Toibasai, and he shared it with everybody else. So where do you see that in Chumash? Where was the time? When did Moshe Rabbeinu share it with Bnei Yisrael? So the Netziv explains in his commentary on Chumash, he thinks that's the beginning of Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die. So he says he started, well, Moshe, Be'eris HaTorah HaZos Leimor. Be'eris HaTorah HaZos means to transmit the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, to explain everything. Right before he was about to die, that's when he was Nog Batoy V'Sayin. All the 40 years, he kept it for himself. He didn't share with everybody else. And then the Pilpula Shel Torah, he shared with everybody else. So when he's transmitting the whole style of Limud Torah Shebaal Peh to try to establish how to develop halachas, how to read in between the lines of the Chumash to figure out what the dinim are, so he was saying everything by association. He first says one din, and then he says, and that brings to mind another din, and the second din leads me to the third din, the third din leads me to the fourth din. So all the dinim have a logical connection in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind before he dies. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, write it down in the Chumash the way I'm going to tell you, but the Seder that Moshe Rabbeinu said it in. So that's why you darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah, because when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying it, he was transmitting Torah Shebaal Peh and connecting dinim by association. The second din is associated with the first din. The third din is associated with the second din. The rest of Chumash is not necessarily so. The rest of Chumash was not given by Maimir Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu three different times. That's how the Gemara, when we learned the Abdallah, we explained from the Chazon Ish. The Sugya and Chagiga, the Avov, a long Sugya, the Gemara quotes all the Tanaim under the sun, that they were all bothered with the question that the Chumash, as we have it, is a composite of three different texts. You have Adama Shalom Moshe Behar Sinai Lema, Adama Shalom Moshe Me'oel Moed Lema, Adama Shalom Moshe the Arvis Moyov Lema. The one text was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Second text was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu Me'oel Moed during the course of the 40 years when Moshe Rabbeinu would go into Oel Moed and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell him the various dinim. And then before Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Arvis Moyov was given the third text. The Gemara has a whole Machlekes HaTanayim. What is that supposed to represent? And the Chumash is a combination, a composite of three different texts. Sometimes the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, put down text number one. Sometimes he said, put down text number two. Sometimes he said, put down text number three. So the Gemara has a whole Machlekes HaTanayim. Chagiga Davov. Why was that so? What does that represent? So Chumash Dvarim is not so. In the rest of the Chumash, the dinim are not necessarily given in that order. So you don't really have a right to darshan smuchim. That's what the Tana Reb Yudah says. Chumash Dvarim, it's Moshe Rabbeinu transmitting the whole Pilpula Shel Torah. He's transmitting the whole Torah Shabal Peh. He's sharing it. It's Nagba Toy Besayim, sharing the Pilpula Shel Torah with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So that's why he's presenting in a logical order. Logical in his mind, connected. So that's why in Chumash Dvarim, Yedarshan Smuchim. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik interpreted. What is the role of Moshe Rabbeinu? What is the role of the Rebbe when he's teaching Torah Shebichsav, when he's teaching Torah Shebal Peh? So in Parshas Bechukosai, Moshe Rabbeinu is not yet transmitting. That's at Har Sinai. He's not yet transmitting Pilpula Shel Torah. He's saying all the Torah Shebichsav. So Moshe Rabbeinu is like the MC. He's like the Shatkan over here. He makes a shidduch between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Bnei Yisrael. He says, here's the Bari Olam, here's Bnei Yisrael, and speak to each other and listen. So the Ribbono Shel Olam talks to Moshe Rabbeinu in the presence of Bnei Yisrael, and here, Aseres HaDibra is fine. He's just on the side. Moshe Rabbeinu stands on the side. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking directly to Bnei Yisrael. Masha'ini Kain, in Chumash Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is transmitting Torah Shebal Peh, so in Torah Shebal Peh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah Shebal Peh to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he absorbs it into his system, and then he transmits it to Bnei Yisrael. Not that he stands on the side and he makes a shidduch between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Bnei Yisrael. Ribbono Shel Olam talks to Bnei Yisrael. There's Mesira, there's Masora, there's Mesira's Torah Shebal Peh. The Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mesina. He received from the Ribbono Shel Olam, or the Rabbeinu. We don't have anybody alive today who received the Torah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Yankelevich is not that old. He receives from his Rabbeinu. So a Rebbe in the area of Torah Shebal Peh, you have Mesiras HaTorah. You transmit it. So the Rebbe absorbs it, and then he gives over a whole chunk of his personality to the Talmidim. He gives over to the Talmidim. So that's what it means in the Lashon HaGemar Megillah, that the Teuchach in Kisavoy is Moshe Rabbeinu Mipi Atzmai Amoris. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. Yakcha Hashem Mishchi Mitzrayim. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking, Moshe Rabbeinu is standing on side. Moshe Rabbeinu receives the whole brachas, the klolos, the whole schar b'yenish, the whole concept from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he transmits it using his own language. That's Mesiras Torah Shebal Peh. So the Gemara says, Meikir Adin, the Teuchach in Kisavai is not as chomer as the Teuchach in Bechukosai, because not the Ribbono Shel Olam saying the klolos himself, it's Moshe Rabbeinu saying it over, and we just have the minig is, the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayis, and we all know the minig is that not only are we not mafsik in the Teuchach in Kisavai, Medina the Gemara, it's Mutter, we always are careful all year long not to begin and not to end an aliyah whenever possible with a dovara. We always try that the beginning and the end of any given aliyah should be a dovar toif. So that's a minik, but Medina de Gemara, then in the Mishnah, only applies to the Teuchach and Luchu Kaisa. The Parsha begins with before you get to the Teuchach, that's the highlight, that's Takanas Ezra, to lay in the Teuchach. But the Parsha begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim, and the Moni HaMitzvah count them as two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is Havoaz Bikurim, and one mitzvah is Mikra Bikurim. Havoaz Bikurim, that's in Parshas Mishpatim, and here's the mitzvah Mikra Bikurim. So they count them as two distinct mitzvahs. Why shouldn't it be counted as one mitzvah? Because sometimes you have a person who's maybe v'ena kore, but you never have kore v'ena maybe. That you can't have. Nobody reads Mikra Bikurim without first being. So why do they all decide that it's two mitzvahs? Not fully understood. Why shouldn't it be one mitzvah? The mitzvah b'shleimusa, sometimes people are commanded to fulfill the mitzvah b'shleimusa, havoaz bikurim with the mikra bikurim, and sometimes you're only commanded to do a mitzvah shalo b'shleimusa. I don't know, but that's how all, I think most of the Rishonim counted as two distinct mitzvahs. It's so mekubal that it's two different mitzvahs. That's why the Ramban asks on the Rambam that the Rambam only counts mitzvahs Talmud Torah as one mitzvah, and he doesn't mention the mitzvah to recite Birchas HaTorah. So the Ramban refers you to the Gemara in Brochus on Daf Chafala, for the Gemara derives from Sukkah Mechumish that Birchas HaTorah is the Raisa. So he thinks that these should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. And don't tell me that it's one mitzvah to learn Torah and to recite the Brochus in connection with Liman HaTorah. So he says, no, a Mashal Lamad Davadayma, just like Havoaz Bikurim and Mikra Bikurim are two distinct mitzvahs. That itself is questionable. Why? But that's given So to over here, the Talmud Torah, with the reciting of the Birchas HaTorah, should also be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. Ala Rishayim on a mitzvah. Why is it so obvious that the Habas Bikurim and the Mikra Bikurim should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs? That's what many Rishayim counted as two distinct mitzvahs. And the Mishnah says that the women only have the mitzvah of Habas Bikurim. They don't recite Mikra Bikurim, because when you recite the Psukim, you have to say, Yomarta higarta yam l'Hashem alkech kivasi al ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem la'abaseinu los islanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to our forefathers, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that he's going to give us Eretz Yisrael. So basically, noshem l'anot l'chelek ba'aretz. Whenever someone dies and he has sons and daughters, preferably is that everyone should have a son and a daughter for the purpose of fulfilling period of Arivian. So whenever there are sons and daughters, so the daughters don't get the Yerusha, only the sons get. In Shulchan Aruch, they say the daughters are going to feel bad. The Rambam quotes from the Rishonim, but the daughters are going to feel bad. So you have to make kinyonim and see to it that you give the daughters something also. But then the daughters don't get b'toras Yerusha, that they get b'toras Matana. The father made it his chayrus, he made it kinyon, whatever. Hashinish b'Hashem la'avasein alasana kadosh Baruch Hu swore to our forefathers, to Avraham Yitzchak, he's going to give us. That's only on the male descendants, not on the female. If there are no sons, then the daughters get the Yerusha. So in principle, the women also get, just that there's a kedima. If there are sons and daughters, then the sons get, the daughters don't get. So the Mishnah says no. Since basically, so the women don't recite Mikra Bikur, because they can't say that pasuk, it's not true. You're going to leave out the pasuk and say the rest. It's Shaloi Kichsavai. You have to either say the whole parsha, you don't say anything. To say the other psukim, leave out this pasuk, is considered shaloi kechsava. So that's also the machlokes hatanaim, whether a ger is maybe the kori. So the Mishnah says a ger is maybe the ainu kori. A ger is not a biological descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So if the women can't say Ashenish Vashem la'avasein alas eslanu, the gerim certainly can't say. They're not the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the Rishami quotes the Braisa, that the Tana Rab Yudah disagrees with the Mishnah. He holds that the ger is maybe the Kori. Why? Because Avram Avinu's name was changed from Avram to Abraham. Av Hamon Goyim. What do you mean Av Hamon Goyim? He's the father, he's the founding father of the Jewish religion. That's what it means. Not just the biological father of his descendants, he's the founding father of the Jewish religion. There were three founding fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So in that sense, they're considered Avuseinu, the ger, Av Hamon Goyim Nesaticha, Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov as well, are considered the obvious of all of those who are boim lachsas tachas kamfei ashchina. That's how the Rambam quotes that Yerushalmi. The Rambam Paskin is like Yerushalmi. Tosis and Bava Basra has a machlokes, the Ri and the Rabbi Natam, and Af Pei Aleph, whether you should Paskin like the Mishnah, you should Paskin like Yerushalmi. And the Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, like the Yerushalmi, that we don't accept the Mishnah. We paskin that a ger is maybe the Kori, because he can't say Hashenish Hashem la'avaseinu los islanu. That the gerim are also, when they daven Shema Nesve, the Mishnah says they cannot say l'keinu v'l'kei avaseinu, l'kei Avraham v'l'kei Yitzchak v'l'kei Yaakov. They're not biological descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we don't paskin like that in Shulchan Aruch. We paskin like the Rambam, who paskins like the Yerushalmi, like the other Tana, that the ger can recite Shmona Esrei, and when he does Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, or he reads Mikra Megillah, he can say, he's obligated to say, Shasa Nisim La'Vaseinu Bayam Mahim Bazman Hazeh. Even though it's not Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shasa Nisim La'Vaseinu, the Nisim of Chanukah and Purim didn't occur to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and only Avram was called Av Hamon Goyim. And we assume also that the Nisim HaChumash, yes, where does it say that Yitzchak and Yaakov are also called Av Hamon Goyim? So he works on it. He has a Psa Drasha from a Pasuk. But you're talking about Chanukah and Purim is not even Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So nonetheless, the Mishnah lumps it all together. That the Tana in the Mishnah holds the Ger can never say Laviseinu, can't say Shosan Nisim Laviseinu, and we don't Paskin like the Mishnah. So we Paskin the Ger even says Shosan Nisim Laviseinu, even though you're not talking about Avram, Yitzchak, you're not talking about the founding fathers of the religion, you're talking about a much later generation. Still, the Gerim can refer to those who were alive at the time of the Nes Purim and the Nes Chanukah, also as I was saying, they're part of the Jewish people. That's a famous letter that the Rambam sent to Ovadia Hager. That we paskin, it's in the Mishnah Torah also, but it's famous from the letter that the Rambam wrote, that that the Gerim say the same Nusach of the Shemana Esrei, and the Ger is maybe Bikuri and so on. The mitzvah Bikurim obviously only applies in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't apply in Chutzal Oretz. The Tanoim have a machlokes in the Mishnah Bikurim whether the mitzvah Bikurim applies to Eva HaYarden. Eva HaYarden in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun had the full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So why should there be a Shita in Tanoim that the mitzvah Bikurim shouldn't apply to Eva HaYarden? So there's the two versions in the Mishnah and the Yerushalmi, two versions why there should be that opinion. So one opinion is because part of Mikra Bikurim you have to recite Arami Ovid Ovid, Yer Mitzrayma, Venitza Kol Hashem Bekam Yisrael, Vayiviyena Lamakam Aditolan, Eretz Ovitz Cholob Advash. So half of the Tanaim say, Eva Yarden is not referred to, never referred to as Eretz Ovitz Cholob Advash. Eretz Ovitz Cholob Advash is only Eretz Yisrael proper, and not Eva Yarden. The other Tana says, no, Eretz Ovitz Cholob Advash is Eretz Yisrael, and if Eva Yarden had the status of Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, had the regular Kedusha Saaretz, so it's also called Eretz Zavas Cholav Edvash. The reason why you can't bring Bikurim from Eber HaYarden is because in the Mikra Bikurim it says, "Vayitan lanu Saaretz Hazos." He say, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael." And over there in Eber HaYarden, Heim Notlu Me'atzma. The original plan was that all of the Shvatim are going to get a section in Eretz Yisrael, 12 sections, one on top of the other. Each one is going to get a parallel section in Eva HaYarden. It crosses like you have. Everyone has a home and a backyard, a home and a parking lot. But so every Shevet is going to have a section in Eretz Yisrael with a section connected on Eva HaYarden. And then the Bnei Godim Nei Ruvain requested a Moshe Rabbeinu, Mikne Rav Hoyle Bnei Godim Nei Ruvain. So they said, it's not a smart idea. We should get a section in Eretz Yisrael. We have so much cattle, so let us stay here. So the whole plan was changed. So instead of everybody having a section crossing apart, going across from Eretz Yisrael to Eva HaYarden, so each one had a section in Eubay. So originally, the plan was that Reuven and Gad are going to get like everybody else. And they changed it. So they can't really say, in clear conscience, Vayitan lona saretz hazayis. It wasn't Vayitan lona, heim not lomeyatzno. So the Yerushalmi says, and what's the difference between this reason and that reason? Why you should declare that Bikurim is not Noeg in Eva HaYarden? Why they say only Eretz Yisrael proper is called Eretz Yisrael Advash? Eva HaYarden is not. Or you say that Eva HaYarden is also called Eretz Yisrael Advash? It's part of Eretz Yisrael. But the reason why they don't bring Bikurim is because they can't really say Vayitan Lono. Hey, not Lo Meyatzma. So the Yerushalmi says the difference is, what about the Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe? If you look there, in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, when the initial request was made, only Mikne Rav Hoyle B'nei Godel B'nei Reuven, Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe didn't ask that they wanted to get Eva HaYarden. Only Reuven and God asked. Then when the Rebbe Shalom gave in, so then either Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe jumped along, and they said, okay, once you're changing the plan, so we also ask. Or, according to some Mefarshim, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's idea, the Rebbe Shalom's idea, to put Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe there. So since they weren't, Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe weren't involved in the initial request, so Yishalmi says, according to the second explanation, then Eretz Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe will be maybe Bikurim, and Reuven and God will not be maybe Bikurim. According to the other explanation, because Eva HaYarden is not called Eretz Havs Cholav Advash, so all 2.5 Shvatim wouldn't have Bikurim. But according to the other Tam, Vayitalonim, as opposed to Eva HaYarden Shehen Not Lameyatzmam, that's only on Eretz Reuven and God. That wouldn't apply to Eretz Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe. It's a very interesting Yerushalmi. Yeah. The women were never included in the Shvuah, in the Havtocha, but apparently the Gerim were. The male, he doesn't get any Yerusha. He had to buy the field. He had to buy the field. But nonetheless, since we assume that that Avram Avinu's name was changed to Abraham, Avam HaGoyim, so he can say he's included in the Shavuot. He can say, Hashem, He didn't get it Birusha. It should have been Faket. Should have been the women. The women sometimes do get a Chelek Bar. Should have been the women should recite the Arami Abarami and the Gerim should not. So the Aloch is Faket from what we would have said. Pelon, yeah.
Doesn't the Gemara in Makos, for example, also say that a Ger doesn't do
Yeah, there are Gemaras all over the place, but that's a machlokes hatanaim. So the Rambam and half of the Bali Atos is paskin like the Yerushalmi, like Rabbi Yudin Yerushalmi, right?
Is a lady bring
a
Mikra Bikurim?
Can a lady say Mikra Bikurim? Do the Levim say Mikra Bikurim? There's a machlokes hatanaim regarding Vidui Maiser, the next parsha in the Chumash. Where the Levim recite Vidui Maaser, because they also have to say, what do you say? Ashkifa miyon kotshecha, the last pasuk that you recite in Vidui Maaser, you say, Ashkifa miyon kotshecha, baruch esamcha yisav yisav adama, shenasat alonu, kashin ishbat ala, we're saying, erez avas chol v'dvash. So the Mishnah has a machlokes satanoim, where the Levim can recite Vidui Maaser, because they say, baruch esamcha adama, shenishbat ala, v'seinu, because the Levim didn't get a regular share, they only got Mem Ches Hori Halvim. So why is the Machlokes? That's what the Meforshim talk about. Why is the Machlokes only by Vidui Maaser? Why don't you have the same Machlokes by Bikurim? So the Meforshim work on that. It sounds as if there never was a Machlokes by Bikurim. Levim are included, even though they didn't get a Chelek Ba'aretz. Only by Vidui Maaser it's a Machlokes Hatanoim. Whether that counts, the Mem Ches Hori Halvim, it's not a share in one spot. So that's a machlekes by Vidui Maaser. You have to figure out why is there a discrepancy. The Loshon is practically identical, but it's practically, it's not exactly identical. So there's a dakas dikachilik between the two. The Sefer HaChinuch has a comment that women are potter from Mikra Bikurim. The Mishnah says women are potter from Mikra Bikurim because Noshim lo not lechelik ba'aretz. They can't say Shenish Ba'ashem la b'sein alas islanum. Sefer HaChinuch gives a different reason. That Mikra Bikurim is restricted when you bring the Bikurim between Shavuos and Sukkos. That's the only time you can recite Arami Abu Dhabi. Once it's already past Sukkos, you may be the Eino Kore. So since it's limited in time, so it's a mitzvah says Shazman Grama, women are potter. So that's the reason why they're potter, so they should be potter from Havoaz Bikurim. Havoaz Bikurim is also restricted. You can only bring between Shavuos and Chanukah, the Mishnah says. Mikra Bikurim to recite Arami Abu Dhabi is more restricted. Between Shavuos and Sukkos, and from Sukkos till Chanukah is Mevi V'Enikor. After Chanukah ain't a Mevi. So it should also be called the Mitzvah says the Shazman Grama. So the Mishnah Melech has comments on the Sefer HaChinuch. And his kuntra is Derech Mitzvay Secho. They have it printed in the end of the Sefer HaChinuch. So he raises the issue. So could it be that the Sefer HaChinuch thinks that the obligation of women to bring Bikurim is only Midirabbanan? It's really Azman Gromam and Ator, their Potter. All Chiyuv to bring is Midirabbanan. Very strange. It wouldn't seem to be true. No one ever said that. Taka, why not? Why shouldn't you say that the whole Chiyuv Havas Bikurim should be a Mitzvah Seseh Shazman Groma and Nashim should be Potter? That's what they ask. Why isn't the Mishnah Melech right? Mishnah Melech raises the question on the Sefer HaChinuch. So the standard explanation that's usually given is that it's any given mitzvah is only labeled as a mitzvah seseh shazman groma if it's a calendaric zman. You look at a calendar and you say from this date to this date. How did the Tanoim say a din over here from Shavuos till Chanukah? What do you mean? Chanukah is a yontif and the Rabbanon on the level of Dvar, so Chanukah doesn't exist. So where did they get that from? So the Mishnah is explained why, because it says when you bring Bikurim, v'samachto, you have to v'samachto. That's the last pasuk in the first aliyah in Parshas Kisov, right? So you only recite Arami, you only bring Bikurim and recite Arami Abu Dhabi when there's a very strong sense of simcha. And even when there's less of a sense of simcha, you can bring the Bikurim, you can recite Arami Abu Dhabi. So that's what the Tanoim say. The real strong sense of simcha that the farmer has is in between Shavuos and Sukkos, because in Eretz Yisrael it doesn't rain. The whole summer it doesn't rain. They say the same bracha. It rarely rains there. So Yotzim and Aklal. and all the peres are still on the field. So that's a very strong sense of simcha. After Sukkot already, we start saying Mashiach Marad Hageshem, we're getting ready for the rain to come. But there's still simcha. The farmer is still happy over the fact that he had a bountiful harvest. After Hanukkah already, after that, it's not a din deraisa. Hanukkah means approximately that's man, around the time of Hanukkah. So the farmer already forgot about the fact that he made such a bountiful harvest so long ago. It's old news. It's no longer on his mind. So it's no longer his man simcha. So the reason why you made the bikore up until Sukkot, and maybe the enikori up until Chanukah is not because of the calendaric zman, it's because it has to be bisman simcha. So that's what the Achrayim came up with that idea. The only time a mitzvah is labeled as a mitzvah says the shazman grama is when it's determined by calendaric zman, when you have to fulfill the mitzvah. Here it's not really calendaric zman. This is the zman when there's simcha. So the Chachamim said an easy way to decide, to establish when there is simcha, when there's not simcha, up until Sukkot, you have the strongest sense of simcha. Between Sukkot and Chanukah is less of a sense of simcha. So that was the suggestion that many Achrayim have. Why we don't consider Bikurim a mitzvah sesa shazman grama? Because it's not zman b'toras zman. It's zman b'toras simcha. The Gemara in yeah.
Argue and say that women should have to say the Sukkim Bikurim, because the Gemara Makos that Yitzchak brought up, it says because it refutes the whole question, because it says it excludes the Ger, because the Ger can't say it. But then if a woman couldn't say it either, it should say Ger and women can't say it.
The Mishnah says that women don't say Aram Yavra. The Mishnah says. The Gemara Makos is not Mukhif to say everything? Learn the Mishnah, and you know the rest of the name. The Ger is a machlekes hatanaim. So the Gemara Makos is quoting the Mishnah, and the Rambam and half of the Bali Atos is passing like the other Tanaim, not like the Mishnah. Yeah. The Gemara Makos doesn't make it stronger. The Mishnah says the Ger is made with the Enikori, and Yerushalmi quotes the machlekes. So that's a shaila how we pass it. Yeah. But by Noshim there's no machlekes. The Mishnah says the women don't recite Arami Avirovi. The Gemara in the end of Masechah Sota has a perek Elon Amarim. The perek begins talking about the various mitzvahs that you have to recite something. You recite Kriya Shema, you recite Kiddush and Abdol, you recite Birchas HaShachar, you recite Birchas HaMazon, you recite Parsha Zohar. So the Mishnah discusses which mitzvahs of recital can be fulfilled only in the original Hebrew, and which can be recited in translation as well. So the Gemara there discusses also the contrast between Mikra Bikurim and Vidoy Maisa. Vidoy Maisa is the next parsha, the second Aliyah in Parshas Kisavoy. It's a 7-year cycle, every 7th year is Shemitah. And the 7-year cycle is broken down into three units, 3 years and 3 years in the Shnas HaShemitah. The second 3 years is a repeat of the first 3 years. The first 2 years, Yimafrish Truma Gedoyla Maisa Rishon Maisa Sheni. And the third year, Yimafrish, instead of Maisa Sheni, Mafrish Maisa Rani. Then the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth years are a repeat of the first, the second, and the third years. So then the halacha says, you have a shas habir, whoever has truma that he didn't give away to the kohen, he's probably spoiled already. If he has truma, unless he bottled it, unless he has bottles of wine, and it's sitting around, they get spoiled in the bottles also. So whoever has truma sitting around the house from the last 3 years has to make sure that he gives it away to the kohen. If he has maizerish and didn't give it away to Levine yet, you have to give it by Pesach of the fourth year. And then the next unit of 3 years, you have to give everything away by Pesach of the seventh year of the Shnas HaShemitah. That's called the Shas Habir. The Shas Habir is Pesach of the fourth year. They give you half a year after the 3 year cycle is up. And Pesach of the seventh year, they give you half a year after the second 3 year cycle is up to give everything away. And then if you have Maaseh Sheni, you have to go to Yerushalayim and eat it, or be podet, use it up. Make sure that everything is taken care of. So let's say in America, a lot of people earn in Eretz Yisrael a year or two or three, then they come to America, they still have their matbeah that they use for the purpose of Pidyon Maaseh Sheni. So when it comes Erev Pesach of the fourth year, Erev Pesach of the seventh year, you have to destroy the matbeah. So they have a chemistry lab here, so you ask the chemist which, it's against the law, but everybody does it anyway, you have to ask which chemical will cause the coin to dissolve. So assume before Pesach of the fourth year and the seventh year, you have to destroy the with the chemical, you have to destroy that coin. that poured down the drain. That's the biur. That's shnas ha-biur. So then, erev Pesach of the fourth year, erev Pesach of the seventh year, after you've given all the truma and all the ma'aser rishon, and you've just eaten up the ma'aser sheni. Today you can't eat ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim, but you have to be put in ma'aser sheni, then destroy the coin that you have left. After you've already done everything, then you recite what we call vidui ma'aser. Why in the world is it called vidui ma'aser? It's a deep, dark secret. The Tosfos Yontav HaMishnayos asks the question. He doesn't say any vidui. He doesn't say that he did anything wrong. He brags that he did everything right. He says, "V'yarti haKodesh min habayis, I gave away Gam Nesatklan, la'avarta mimitzvasecha la'shochach, that did everything 100%. And if he didn't do 100%, he can't recite Vidui Ma'aser. So why is it called Vidui Ma'aser as a problem? The Tosfos Yontav HaMishnayos raises the issue. The Sfarna HaChumash talks about it. It's a big problem. Even with the Sfarna, we don't know exactly what the answer is. So the Akopanim, it's a problem. So the Gemara draws a contrast between Mikra Bikurim as opposed to Vidui Ma'aser. The Gemara says, Vidui Ma'aser, the fellow is bragging. He says, I did everything the way I'm supposed to. So the Chumash doesn't recommend that he should recite Vidui Ma'aser out loud. I did everything, I did all the mitzvahs. He should say it softly, you shouldn't brag. As opposed to Mikra Bikurim, he doesn't say he's praising the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's saying his Genai, Arami Ovid Ovi. Our ancestors were of the Mitchilu Avad Avad Zorahoy Avasenu. Arami Ovid Ovid, Vayere Mitzrayim, and so on. So since he's saying Adovah Shel Genai, so that's okay, that you should say Bikol Ram. So the Gemara points out here, it says, V'yonisu V'yamarta Lefnei Hashem Alkecha, Arami Ovid Ovid, V'yonisu V'yamarta has the connotation of Bikol Ram. You should say it out loud. Like it says, by the Brochas, the Klos, and Hagriz, Maharevon, it says, V'yonu V'yomru. So just like over there, it's obvious that V'yonu V'yomru is going to be B'kol Ram. Where's V'yonu V'yomru? V'yonu Alevim V'yomru, Kol Ish Yisrael Kol Ram. Or Hu Ish Yishiyasa Pesam HaMasecha. That's later in today's parasha. So just like there, V'yonu V'yomru has to be B'kol Ram. They should really have a loudspeaker. How is it physically possible that all of Klal Yisrael can hear? So that has to be B'kol Ram. So Mikra Bikurim should also be B'kol Ram. As opposed to Vidui Ma'aser, where he's praising himself, so that doesn't say beyond this of a martin. Says we are martel of Hashem Alkecha. That should be balachash. The person should say his genai b'kol ram, and his shvach he should say balachash. That's why in the Svarim they write that many Bali Kriya have the meaning. This morning the Balkari didn't do that, but in many other minyanim Balkari has the meaning. When he gets to the pasuk Hashkifa, Miyon Kotshech, he raises his voice, because until Hashkifa, the fellow, the farmer who brings, he says, the Vidui Ma'aser is bragging. I did all the mitzvahs properly. So that the Gemara says, that's not derech eretz to say b'kol ram. Hashkif me'an kol shecha is a prayer to the Baruch Shalom. So that you should say b'kol ram. So many have the practice that when the Balkar gets to that concluding posik in the second aliyah, on Shabbos, hashkif me'an kol shecha, they should raise the voice and say it more b'kol ram than the previous psukim to indicate that there it's okay ready to say b'kol ram. There was a famous machlokes years ago in the late 1800s. Rabbi Tzalal Vilna was a dayan in Vilna. He was a kohen. He and his young brother, Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna, were dayanim in Vilna. Shlomo LeVilna was a genius, and Rabbi Tzalal Vilna apparently was a super genius. The genius, agabi genius. So Rabbi Tzalal Vilna, the older brother, visited Trieste, Italy for a short period of time. And he was a kind, he used to duchen every day, so they mechabed him that he should duchen. So he didn't understand, what do you mean mechabed me to duchen? All the kohanim duchen. He said, no, their meaning is only one kohen, all the kohanim stand, and they raise their hands every day, they duchen. The mechabed, the greatest learner, the biggest talmid chacham, he should say the psukim, v'rech Hashem yishmerecha, and the other kohanim don't say anything, and the yoytzei duchening with shemeh kohanim, just like we do by Kiddush and Avdolah. One person says Kiddush and Avdol, everybody's Yotze with Shemei Kaina. That was their practice by Duchening. So he writes this up in his first Sefer. It turned out to be his first and only Sefer. He called it Reishis Bikurim, the first Sefer. Turned out that's all he wrote. His brother, Rav Shlomo LeVilna, wrote more Svarim. Reishis Bikurim is a small Sefer. So he writes, he saw this meeting in Trieste, Italy, and he said he was wondering where they get it from. Then after a while, I realized it's enough in a Mishnah Megillah. He quotes a Mishnah Megillah that nobody knows Pshat. And no one even asks. It says which kohen duchen? Which kohen duchen? It's all the kohenim duchen. It says no. Which kohen says the duchening and the others are yotzer et shemei kohen? That's the pshat in the Mishnah. No one ever realized that. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. So the Beis HaLevi was a contemporary of Rabbi Tzal of Vilna. So he didn't want to bop him over the head by mentioning by name. The Beis HaLevi has this sefer on Chumash. Has on Chumash Bereshis and Shmos. So in between Bereshis and Shmos there was a blank page. So that was considered a hepsid moment, to print a blank page. So Kadei Shalal Lohotzi Hanu Yor Cholok, the Rabbanim in Europe, when they printed a sefer, so they didn't want to waste the whole page. So they would put in more Divrei Torah. So he put in four paragraphs on the blank page, so it shouldn't be a wasted page. And each paragraph is a chiddush in halacha lemaaseh. So one of the four paragraphs he writes, a new sefer just came out recently. He doesn't want to say who it is, not to be mevazeh. And he writes in the sefer that you can be yotzei duchening with shemei kohenah. One kohen should say yirecha Hashem yishmerecha, all the others will be yotzei. And he disagrees. He says shemei kohenah, but duchening has to be b'kol rom. So where is the kol rom over here? You don't hear him saying a word. The others don't say a word. How can you say yotzei with shemei kohenah? There's no kol rom. So he disagrees. So the Netziv has in his Chuvas, in the end of the first Chelik of the Meshiv Dover, he says, the Netziv was, for a period of time, was the Korosh Yeshiva and Valojin with the Beis HaLevi. Then they became Sora Mechutonim, the granddaughter of the Netziv, married Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, the son of the Beis HaLevi. So he didn't want to be Mevaza the Beis HaLevi, so he says, a new Sefer just came out, he doesn't want to say who it is, and he writes in the Sefer that he can't be Yotzei Duchening with Shemei Kohenah, and he says, that's not right. Why did this prominent Talmud Chacham say he can't be Yotze because there's no Kol Rom? So he says, but by Mikra Bikurim, you also need Kol Rom. It says, V'anisa V'amarto. The Gemara says in the beginning of Hilel Namarim, you need Kol Rom for Mikra Bikurim. And the Mishnah says in Bikurim, B'tchila, originally when the farmers used to bring Bikurim, each farmer would recite Arami Yavid Ovi on his own. They had a Sefer Torah there. How are they going to recite Arami Yavid Ovi? So the Gemara says they had it posted on the wall, like we have Moedim Derabbanan and Asher Yotze, whatever. We have different things on the wall, so they had to hang it on the wall. But the Gemara says, but you can't write just Arami Yovid Ovi, a Parsha Bifnei Asmi. You have to write the whole Chumash Dvarim. So they weren't prepared to hang up the whole Chumash Dvarim. So they had it written in Rashi Tevis. Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. Vav Men. Arami Yovid Ovi, Yerub Mitzrayim. So how many farmers are going to be able to figure out Aleph, Aleph, Aleph of men, what it stands, that's not so big. How do you get to the next pasuk? It gets more complicated. So some of the farmers could figure out what it said, and some of them memorized it bal peh, and most of them could not. So they would stand on line in Beis HaMikdash. So whoever knew how to figure out the Rosh Yetevis hanging on the wall, said it on his own. Whoever didn't know, they had to have somebody help him out and say along with him. And then the Mishnah says the farmers were dead embarrassed. The first three guys knew how to say it, then the fourth guy doesn't know how. And he traveled a whole day to come to Yerushalayim to bring the Bikurim in order to be humiliated, in order to be embarrassed. So the Mishnah says, Nimnu Milahavi. They stop bringing Bikurim. I don't have to put myself out to bring Bikurim in order to be embarrassed. So they made a takana, Bizman Abayis. They don't allow anybody to say his own Mikra Bikurim. You always have somebody else say for you. So the Yerushalmi has a famous comment on that Mishnah, Kadesh Lo Levayish is Mishani Adair. That's how it says in the Mishnah. Kadesh Lo Levayish. So the Yerushalmi says a remez to that you have your makri everybody, because it says the aniso v'amarto. Aniso usually is you're responding to somebody else. So they had someone else say Arami Avidavi, and they would say after them. So that's the poshup shot in the Yerushalmi. They would say Arami Avidavi, and the guy would say Arami Abayerim and Saima, and he would say Abayerim and Saima. They would say word for word. And the Netziv quotes that others, there's a machloikas, the Meforshim there on that Mishnah, others say, not that they said, say after me, Arami Avinavi Yer Mitzrayim, and the farmer says the whole pasuk. Then he says, say the next pasuk, he says word for word, but he says, they rather were moitzi them with Shemea Kaina. They said, stay here, I'll recite the whole parasha, and you stand here and you'll be yotze with Shemea Kaina. So the Netziv says, half of the Meforshim on the Mishnah say that the farmers will yotze with Shemea Kaina. And the halacha says that you need kol rom, so you see that even when you need kol rom, it's also satisfied with shemei kohenah. So what's wrong with having shemei kohenah by duchening? Even though you need, he's disagreeing with the Beis HaLevi, even though you need kol rom by duchening, you should be able to satisfy that requirement based on the Shemer Kohen. That's his time. So there's a whole debate.
It means not the same thing. Kol Rav.
Right. That's what the Soloveitchik family never held from the Netziv, because he married into the family. He's not Beis Harab. Beis Harab, but those who are direct descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. In Lithuania, the Yichus was those who are direct descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. For some reason or another, descendants of the Vilna Goyen was not. Louis Ginsberg was a descendant of the Vilna Goyen, he writes. Louis Ginsberg used to be in the Jewish Theological Center. He used to learn Gemara B'Gilei Rosh. He knew how to learn, but he used to learn Gemara B'Gilei Rosh. He learned in Slabodka in Europe. So he writes on the first page of all of his farm, Dor Shmini Lahagro. He's very proud of that. But in Europe, that was not considered a Yichus, a direct descendant of the Vilna Goyen. Direct descendant of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that was the Yichus. That was called Beis Harav, for whatever reason that is. So the Netziv married into the family. He married the granddaughter of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, married the daughter of Vitzala Volozhiner. So the Soloveitchiks are direct descendants. So they didn't accept the Netziv Steiner. So they explained that the two different Tzvei Dinim, the two different kinds of Kol Ram, the Beis Halevi is right. This Kol Ram can be satisfied. That Kol Ram cannot be satisfied. I was at a wedding last night sitting next to Rabbi Willig. So he was telling over that at his wedding, Rabbi Soloveitchik was Masada Kiddushin. So he said, say after me, Hare. He says, Hare, At, At, Mekudeshes, Mekudeshes, Li, and so on. So Rabbi Herschel Schechter, Rabbi J.J. Schechter's father, was there at the wedding. So here's Rabbi Soloveitchik. But the Chassan knows how to say Harayat. You know, he's not an Amoritz. You don't have to say, you don't have to help him. He said, no, it's the Mishnah in Bikurim. The minig was that Kadesh Olalabash is Mishani Yadeh, in order not to embarrass the one who doesn't know to say Harayat. So the practice used to be years ago that the Rabbanim would say along with every Chassan, say Harayat Mekudesh. Now nobody does it. Yeshiva people, nobody does it. But years ago, that used to be the practice. Tyson says that's why we have an institution of a Bal Kore, Bismana Talmud, Bismana Gemara. Whoever got an Aliyah used to lay in his own Aliyah. By many Sephardic Shekilas, they still do Ara Yom Hazeh. They have to know the whole Sedrit. They may get any Aliyah, except for Kohen Levi. But they can get any Aliyah. So they have to know the trup on every Aliyah. But by the Ashkenazim, the minig developed that you have a Bal Kore. So Tosis and Megillah writes, Kadesh Lo Labayesh, it's Mishani Adet. Some of the people won't know. At another point in the wedding, I was sitting next to Rabbi Weinberger from Lawrence. So he was talking to me also about a wedding. He says he was sitting at a wedding many centuries ago. He was sitting at a wedding next to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky stood up and the chassan was walking down the aisle because of the Mishnah in Bikurim. Because the Mishnah says when the farmers would come to Yerushalayim and bring the Bikurim, everybody would stand up out of respect to the fellow who's doing a mitzvah. And even people who are employed by someone else, and the din is they're not supposed to stand up when a Talmid Chacham passes by, because when you stand up, you sit down, you're going to waste a minute or two from the boss is paying you a salary. So you're getting paid salary not to do work then. That's not right. If you're self-employed, you should stand up when a Talmid Chacham walks by. But if you're salaried by someone else, you're not supposed to stand up for a Talmid Chacham. But if a farmer is bringing Bikurim, you do stand up out of respect. So the Bartanura writes on that Mishnah, it's based on this Mishnah that the minig is that when the Kvata brings in the baby, I was at a bris yesterday also, when the Kvata brings in the baby by the bris, that was the bris of my grandson. So when the Kvata brings in the baby for the bris, you stand up, not out of respect for the baby. Baby, why should we respect the baby? Out of respect for the Kvata, who's doing a mitzvah. He's bringing the baby to have the bris milah. When the Chevre Kadisha brings in a body for a funeral, they stand up not out of respect for the dead person. We never stood up for him while he was alive. Why should we stand up now that he's dead? We stand up out of respect for the Chevre Kadisha, who are performing a mitzvah that they're bringing in the body to be metapel in the kura. So that's what many say. That's how Rabbi Kamenetsky said. We stand up out of respect for the chassan, because on his way, he's marching down the aisle to do a mitzvah. So Rabbi Weinberger says, and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein didn't stand up. So he said, no, the farmers are doing a mitzvah now. As they're bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, they're doing a mitzvah. The chassan is on his way to do a mitzvah. He's not yet doing the mitzvah. That's the Bartanura says, the reason why we stand up when the Kvata brings in the baby, the mitzvah is the bris milah. They're bringing the baby just the hachana. So that should be the same as the chassan marching down the aisle. He's preparing to do a mitzvah. He's going towards doing a mitzvah. He's not yet doing the mitzvah. So Rabbi Weinberger said, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, no, the Mishnah is only when he's performing a mitzvah right now. On his way to do a mitzvah, you don't have to stand up. Different. Correct? Correct. Right.
Was the rabbi not learning in Mishnah in Kur that it was Shemekana then? He was saying word by word then.
The Netziv quotes that there are two interpretations. What was the takana? Hischilu lahakres l'chol adam. They had someone say for him, and the farmer didn't say anything. And it was Yotzev et Shemekan. Oh no, they said say word for word, like Hare, Hare, Atat, Mekodesh, Mekodesh. So there are two Pirushim on the Mishnah. So he says, according to half of the Mefarshim, they were Moitzi, all of the farmers, with Shemekan, despite the fact that you need Kol Rom. Rav Sadi Goyen has a poem where he includes all of the Taryag mitzvahs. Many of the Rishonim wrote Azhoras HaPiyutim, which used to be recited on Shavuos in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, where they rattled off all the Taryag mitzvahs. So Rav Sadi Goyen wrote such a poem also, and that's what this Balabas wrote, his whole extensive commentary. He calls it the Sefer HaMitzvahs for Rav Sadi Goyen. It's not a Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's one poem. And he breaks it down to each half line and explains what is the sheet of Rav Sadia Goyen, which are the 613 mitzvahs. He has these three fat volumes of commentary. The whole poem itself is only 3-4 pages long. And the commentary says three books the size of Bava Basra to explain what the sheet of Rav Sadia Goyen is. So one of the mitzvahs Rav Sadia Goyen lists off is the brachas and klalas of Hagriz Maharev. So the problem is, that was once in the history of the world. The Rambam writes, can't ask Akasha from the Rambam on Rav Sadia Goyen. But the Rambam writes in his 14 klolim, the first half of the Sefer Mitzvah Rambam, he gives you the 14 klolim, the guidelines to determine what belongs in the Sefer Mitzvah, what not. So the Rambam says something that's only Harua Shah, once in the history of the world, you don't include that in the Sefer Mitzvahs. So there was a Harua Shah in the Midbar that they had that they shouldn't leave up a month till the next morning. So that was for 40 years in the Midbar, that's not in the Sefer Mitzvah. So there was a Harua Shah right before Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a Hirosha that everybody had to knock on the next door neighbor's door and to ask for matanas. That was once in the history of the world. There was a Hirosha, Haremis Matcha Layam Ufkoeyum. Moshe Rabbeinu should pick up his cane and make Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Rambam says, I'm not going to count that. Haremis Matcha Layam Ufkoeyum. That was once in the history of the world. You only count mitzvahs that are noig l'doros. So what does the Rav Sadia Goyen mean? That he's counting brochas and klolas and hagrizim and harevel. That was once in the history of the world. It was never repeated. So that's what this Rabbi Yeruchim Pella, this Balabas, who wrote the extensive commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rabbi Sadia Goyen, he suggested what he means is the institution of Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zeh B'Zeh, because the Gemara says that Orvus, Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zeh B'Zeh, only set in after Brachas the Kol Zeh HaGriz Maharev. So Rabbi Sadia Goyen, he thinks he didn't mean to say the actual maimed of brachas haklalas. It meant the institution of arvus should be included in the minyan on mitzvahs. What exactly did they say there at hagrizim and harevel? So the psukim only list the arurim, the gemara there in perik elu nemorim, and the end of soita explains that each one of these was preceded with a bracha, and then they said the klalas. Just like there were brachas and klolas in the Teichach here. In Kisaba, he said this was also brachas and klolas, like Rabbi Soloveitchik explained. The brachas and klolas, the Hagriz Ma'areva, were the hemshach of the second Krisis Bris that Moshe Rabbeinu made. The Rabbanu Shlomo wanted Moshe Rabbeinu should make the Bris. He was the Adon HaNeviim, but Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. And it only makes sense if the Bris is going to take place in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ikat Tziruf of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to do the haskalah of the bris at Arvis Moyav, and Yeshua ben Nun completed it al Yadai. So that's why it was also with brachas of klolas. The Gemara later in Yevamos has the machlokes hatanoim. It's really from Sanhedrin and Perek Elohim on Israfin. He spoke a little bit about Isha Obito. When we learned the Tosfos on Gimel Amud Aleph, Machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam, if I give a ring to a girl, I say, Hareya Mekudeshes Li, so there's only Kiddushin. I didn't yet do Nisun. So the Rambam says, already, I'm a right also to marry the mother-in-law, the daughter-in-law, and my wife's daughter, and the sister-in-law, my wife's sister. Kimishi Kiddush Adam Isha, Nesrael of Shalosh Nashim, the Chamoso, and the Bas Ishto, and the Achos Ishto. And Tosfos disagrees on the Bas Ishto. Tosfos agrees on the Chamoso and the Achos Ishto, that depends on Kiddushin. And the Chamoso depends on Nisuin. Why? So Tosfos Bayaz doesn't explain, but the Tosfos on Tzadik Zayin, the Aruch Lanei refers you, look at the Tosfos Tzadik Zayin, and I'll tell you that because it says, Shara Heina Zimahi, it says the word share. And share, the Gemara says, Achav Tosfos Amud Beis, share only applies, share is a Ishto, is only after Nisuin. If one is Suin not. So we have a din of Isha Bita, that according to the Rambam sets in with the Kiddushin, and according to Tosfos only sets in with Nisuin. How long does the din of Isha Bita apply? So what if, let's say, I'm married to a woman, and she dies, am I allowed to marry her mother? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. It says, Ba'esh yisrifu oso v'es hen. One is Ba'al Isha Bita, that's why it's in Perek Elein on Esrafin, because a Ba'al Isha Bita is Sreifa. So the pasuk is funny, Ba'esh yisrifu oso v'es hen. They give Sreifa to the wife and to the mother-in-law. The wife was beheter. When he lives with the mother-in-law, that's the essence. Why do you give Sreifa to the wife? Why should the wife deserve Sreifa? So the Gemara has a machlekes, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, how do you translate the word eshen? So Rabbi Shmuel says, es achas mehen. Eshen, shehen, shekein, because in Greek, the word hen means achas. O-N-E, one. One is the same as hen. So hen, hen yiras Hashem hi chochma. So the Mesillas of Sharm interprets hein doesn't mean hinei. Hein means achas. This is the one and only chachma in the whole wide world. Hein yiras Hashem yichachma. This is the chachma yichid in the whole world. It's to how to gain yiras Hashem. That's the highest level of chachma. So here one Tana says ba'esh yisrifu oso v'yes hen v'es achas mehen. The wife that's beheter is beheter. The woman that is living with the yisr, the chamoso, the bas ishtoi, that woman will get the sreifa. The other Tana, Rabbi Akiva, and we pass like Rabbi Akiva says no. Ba'esh yisrifu oso v'yes hen means you only give sreifa to one who violates isha bito if the wife is still alive. Chamoso lachamisas ishtoi, there's no oinish sreifa. There's no oinish sreifa. So they said, and we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Chamoso lachamisas ishtoi, there's no oinish sreifa. The Gemara later has a whole discussion about this. It may be relevant to halacha lemaisa bizman hazeh by Gersh and his Gaya. Whole discussion. So we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Chamoso lachamisas ishtoi, there's no sreifa. So the question is there koris or not? The Gemara never discussed, is there koris? Let's say someone, there was a Maisha Shehoya, there was a rabbi, Big Tamachach, who lived in Monticello for many years, and a couple came and they wanted to bar mitzvah their son in the shul, so they wanted the rabbi to teach the kid how to say the bracha, the bar mitzvah. So the rabbi started to ask questions about the whole story. Turns out that this man was married to a girl, and the girl died. Then he was around 10 years older than his wife. Then the wife died, he married his mother-in-law. Exactly as it says in the Gemara. Chamoso lachamisas ishtoi. The mother-in-law was 8 years older than him, 10 years older than the husband. And then they had this child, the bar mitzvah boy. So the rabbi writes a whole tshuva in a sefer. Rabbi Shlomo Schneider, the big Talmud Chacham, passed away already. He has a whole tshuva. Is the child the mamzer or not? The kid has to have a bar mitzvah anyway, whether he's a mamzer or not. He's Jewish. But the question is he a mamzer or not? Is there an isa koris or not? So he quotes a machloikis. Rashi on that, Gemara Sanhedrin says, there's no koris, but it's orur. It says in the parsha, Orusha Chevim Chamoso, Ramal Kol Ha'om, Amen. Orusha Chevim Chosanto, Ramal Kol Ha'om, Amen. Chosanto means the mother-in-law. So Rashi and the Gemara writes, this must be, it's only Orur. It sounds like there's no Koris. Only Orur, that's an interesting assumption that Rashi has. All the Yud Aleph Arurim, it's not even a full loisesi. It's a lower level of an isa. Lower level of an isa. And refers to a case that's not covered by any other pasuk in Chumash. The original psukim about Isha Bita, about Chosanto, the mother-in-law, is only Bechaya Yishto. Chamosa lachamisis Ishto. There's no Sreifa. And Rashi assumes, therefore, there's no Koris either. There's no pasuk. The only prohibition is here, and it's only Orur. And other Rishonim disagree. The Ramban disagrees. The Magen Mishnah quotes the Ramban disagrees. Hold that there is Koris. So the Pashto should be whether the child is a mamzer or not should depend whether there's Koris. Whenever there's Koris, the child is a mamzer. Whenever there's no Koris, the child is not a mamzer. So that's what this Talmud Chochem writes a whole essay. He quotes Achranim. Some Achranim say that even according to Rashi, there's no Koris. It could be that the child is still a mamzer because it still is an Issa Chosanta. It could even be that even according to the Ramban that there is Koris, but the Issa was lowered to a lower level. So it could be that even though there is Koris, it could be that the Vlad is not a mamzer. It quotes different opinions. But the whole premise of the Rashi is fascinating. That Rashi understands that the Arurim, Yud Aleph Arurim, must be referring to cases which are not covered by real prohibitions in other places in Chumash. So that's what in Europe, the Rabbanim in Warsaw used to publish every year in Chodesh Tishrei. They only approve of the following sofrim. If you want to check your tefillin, your mezuzah, you have to go to these sofrim. We don't accept anybody else's. And whoever goes to any other sofer is in violation of Hasagas Gvul. These are the official sofrim of our community. It's Hasagas Gvul. So one Rav had a bug in his head. And he sent in a letter to the editor. What kind of Hasagas Gvul? Hasagas Gvul goes on stealing karka and Eretz Yisrael. What does it have to do over here? Why is Hasagas Gvul over here? So the rabbi who sent in the letter to the editor didn't write his name. But everybody knew who it was. I think he wrote his Rashi Tevis. Everybody knew who it was. So the Kli Chemda was the secretary of the Vav Rabbanim of Warsaw. So he wrote a whole response to the anonymous rabbi. And he says, your ancestors wrote Hasagas Gvul. So he quotes that he says, it was one of the Soloveitchik families. So he said, the second letter was Samach, Soloveitchik. So he knew who, they all knew who it was. So he says, there's Askama from the Nitziv on a certain Sefer, and it says nobody should be Masik Gvul to print the Sefer. So no one's stealing any karka in Eretz Yisrael. He quotes that, it's always assumed. That's the Hasagas Gvul. You open up a pizza shop, you take away the other guy's parnasa. That's always assumed to be Hasagas Gvul. It's takapele, but it doesn't make sense. Hasagas Gvul is only and Eretz Yisrael. So he says, but Rashi says in Sanhedrin that all of the Yud Aleph Arurim have to be referring to some other Issa. So Orem Asid Gvul Reyehu is referring to this kind of Hasagas Gvul. Stealing Karka and Eretz is the other Pasuk. And the Arurim have to refer to additional prohibitions that were never covered anywhere else in the Chumash. And then you have to go through all the Yud Aleph Arurim. What are they all? We only know Masid Gvul and Rosh Hashem and Chol Santo. What are the others? You have to figure out what it is. Then you have the brachas haklolas. The Takana says with the lame brachas haklolas. And you have one of the psukim in the brachas is v'halachta bedrachov. And the Gemara says, what does v'halachta bedrachov refer to? Ahu racham, afato racham, and so on. We were all created b'tzelem alakim. We have an obligation to preserve that Tzelem Elokim. And the next Pasuk says, V'ro kalami ha'aretz. This is Pasuk Tes and Pasuk Yud. In the beginning of the Brachas HaKlolos in chapter Chavches. So the Pasuk Tes sends off a halachta b'drachav. Then Pasuk Yud begins, V'ro kalami ha'aretz. Kishem Hashem nikra adach v'yaru mimeko. What is that referring to? So the Gemara says it means when the Umas HaOlam will see that we're wearing tefillin shel rosh, they'll be afraid of us. It won't start up with us. That's why the last Lubavitcher Rebbe had a Mivtza HaTfilin. He had a campaign to get all Israeli soldiers in the army to wear tefillin so that the Arabs will be afraid of them. But that's obviously not the Pshut Rishon Mikra that you should wear. What's the Pshut Rishon Mikra? So the Vilna Goyen is quoted in that Sefer Adelis Aliyo. He didn't write it himself, but the Talmidim wrote it over. He says the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk means V'alachta B'drachav. It's a continuation of the end of Pasuk Tes. You should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we all created B'Tzelem Elokim. You should preserve the B'Tzelem Elokim. Baro Kalami Horetz, when all the nations of the world will see, we're supposed to serve as an Or L'Goyim. We're supposed to serve as a light unto the nations. That's what the Navi Yeshaya says. What does it say in Chumash? Here. Baro Kalami Horetz, when all the Goyim will see, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that you have succeeded in preserving the B'Tzelem Elokim, Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. You have succeeded in preserving your B'Tzelem Elokim, The Yaru Mimeka, they will learn from us how to act with Yirah Shamayim. They will learn from us, they can also preserve their Tzelem Elokim, also create a B'Tzelem Elokim. And Yisrael have a mile on top of that. We are not only Tzelem Elokim, we are also Banim Lamokom. But all the Yom Yisraelim share in common the basic Tzelem Elokim. So they should see, we are supposed to act as an Or LaGoyim in what area? Not in Shabbos and Kashvus and Taras HaMishpacha, that's for us, that's not for them. Supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim in these areas. When they will see that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Elokim, so they should learn from us, V'yorim and Mecca, they can preserve their Tzelem Elokim as well. The Rambam counts this as one of the mitzvahs HaTorah, V'halachta v'drochot. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his published essays, writes, he considers this one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah, that everyone should preserve his Tzelem Elokim, Ahu Chanan, Ahu Rachum, and so on and so forth. Tzelem Elokim is Chaviv Adam Shenivir B'Tzelem. Such an important thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us all B'Tzelem, so we should preserve our Tzelem Elokim. A person acts like a behemoth, so he ruins his own Tzelem Elokim. So that's quite a significant mitzvah. Alachta b'drochav. The Rashash has his running commentary on the Gemara. He has a lot to say. So he has a comment in one place in Bava Metzia. The Gemara comments on the pasuk in the brachas. Baruch atah b'vayecha, baruch atah b'tzeisecha. What does it mean? So the Gemara has an interpretation. Baruch atah b'vayecha means you're born into the world. Baruch atah b'tzeisecha, when you pass away. Just like when a baby is born, it's born belichet. Baby didn't sin, didn't have a chance to sin yet. So is a blessing. When you die, you should also be belichet. Just like when you were born belichet. So the Rashash has a little innocent comment on that Gemara. Mikan sas stira lebalei ha-gilgul. There are those who believe in Gilgul neshamas, that sometimes a soul is recycled, a soul is brought back into the world, because this person sinned in a previous Gilgul, he was in a different body, and he has to do a tikkun, and he never did tshuva the first time around, so they're going to bring a soul back into the world again in order to do a tikkun, and sometimes the second time he still didn't do a tikkun, he has to do a third time, and a fourth time they bring him into the world 10 times until he does a tikkun for the avera that he did the first time. So the Rashash is bothered with the kasha. How does the Gemara say Baruch Ata Bavayecha, Baruch Ata Bitzaysecha, Sheitehei Yitziyoscha Min Oilem Ki Biyoscha Elam? Just like Mab Yoscha Belichet, who says that it was Belichet? Maybe his neshama was a Gilgal of a previous person, and he was Bol Oilem with a Chet, and he had to be Mesakin the Chet. So from this Gemara, it seems to contradict those who believe in Gilgal. So there are many Hasidim who consider the Rashash an Apikeris. They'll not learn the Rashash because of that. Not learn the Rashash, that's like cutting off your nose to spite someone else. Rashash has a lot of wonderful insight. Rashash was a businessman, he was not a rabbi.
What could you say when the first time he came to the world? That's what is going on.
Okay, he writes Tzas Stira Lebali, it's not outright Stira, you can farem for it even. Tzas Stira Lebali Agil. There's a famous sefer called Or Hashem, written by Chizdoi Kreskes. Chizdoi Kreskes was in the days of the Rivosh, he was one of the Gedoli Hador in his generation. Or Hashem is a sefer on Ashkofa, on Amuna. So he writes what we believe in and what we don't believe in. And then he writes, a third section is, it's neutral, it's not part of our religion. What's the distance between the sun and the earth? That's not part of our religion, it's neither here nor there. Whatever it is, it's neither here nor there. So he includes in that section that's not part of our religion, Gilgal. Whether you believe, you don't believe in Gilgal, has nothing to our religion. It's not from the Kori Hamuna. Could be there is Gilgal, could be there not Gilgal. It's not about business. It's not Nagir. But there are those Hasidim who consider it an Iker and Hamuna. And if anyone denies it, anyone just raises a Sufik Tzas Stira Lebali HaGilgal, Achaz Dos Elohamis. Okay. That's the famous Rasha. She got into trouble because they're Mikan Tzas Stira Lebali HaGilgal. In the middle of the Teuchecha, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hifl Hashem es Makoyzcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish, Schar B'Yon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the people for violating all of the Averis. So there's one of the Psukim, it's a long Teuchecha, Psukim Nun Ches and Nun Tes. Lo Sishma Lassus, Kol Dibra Torah Zos, HaKsum HaSefer HaZeh, Liyiras HaShem HaNichbod VaHanora HaZeh, Eis HaShem HaLokecho, if you won't demonstrate Yirah Shemayim, If Hashem is makoyscha, Kodesh Baruch will give you half of a fella, unusual punishments, we will be punished for the averis that we do. So the Gemara, so that's the Pashup Shat. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk, that if usually the klal is that people get malchus if they violate an aver, which is similar to losachsim shabedisha. That's one of the many, many drushes that's based on smuchim and chumish dvarim. From Yivam's davdala namanav, you have all over Shas. Many, many halachas based on smuchim, two psukim next to each other in chumish dvarim. So one of the many halachas is, how do we establish who gets malchus? Because the pasuk of v'hoyam bina kosa rasha v'pil hasha v'kol afana, malchus appears right next to the pasuk of l'sachsim shabedisha. So whoever violates an avera that's similar to l'sachsim shabedisha gets malchus. So the Gemara has a machlekes atanoim and a machlekes amaram. We pass from halacha alav she'im bo maise ein loikim alav. Only alav she'ish bo maise similar to l'sachsim shabedisha. What's alav she'im bo maise? So what if a person violates an avera ayde dibur? So dibur is also called lav she'ein bo maise. Rabbi Yochanan says there are three exceptions to the rule. Kolay says she'ein bo maise ein loikim olav chutz bin nishba meim and mekal chaver b'shem. If I curse someone b'shem Hashem, I misuse shem Hashem. Then I violated the avera less mekal chaverish, but all avera was violated ayde dibur. So dibur is called lav she'ein bo maise. So I should not deserve malchus for that. So Rabbi Yochanan says that's one of the three exceptions to the rule. Despite the fact that dibur is a lav she'ein bo maise, you get malchus because it's a mefurish drasha from this pasuk. It says im loisishmar liyiras Hashem hanichbad v'hanora hazeh. If you misuse the name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Eis Hashem alakecha, then v'hifal Hashem es makoscha has the connotation of getting malchus. The Gemara says, where do you see that? The Gemara works that out. Where do you see in the word v'hifal Hashem es makoscha? The Gemara says, no, the word v'hifal is similar to the Hipila HaShofet. It means Malkus. It's quite a drasha of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam writes, if you curse someone, you get Mekal Chaver B'Shem Hashem, gets Malkus. He doesn't have to curse him with the Shem HaMeforash, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the Raibit is Masik on the Rambam. Raibit says, only if he uses Shem HaMeforash Mamish, Shem HaMeyuchad. Why? So the Raibit on the Hasavas on the Rambam doesn't explain it. But in the Hasogas on the Rif, at the end of Masechah Shvuas, the Raibit explains it. So there's a strange comment that Briskerov has on the Rambam. He gives a whole interpretation in the Raibit. Then he says, and afterwards, after many years, I found the Raibit himself says it. So what did he have to write it up? He should have just said the Raibit says. Very strange. The Raibit himself says in his commentary on Hasogas on the Rif, as quoted by the Shittim Kubetzis and Bava Kama from the Raibit's comments on the Rif in Shvuas, that the Pasuk says, refers to the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, Eis Hashem Alakecha. The only time a Kal Chaver B'Shem gets Malkus is if he misuses the Shem Hamforish Mamish, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. But the other Zayin Shemis, not, there are seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the other names there wouldn't be any Malkus, only the Shem Hamforish Mamish. After the whole brachas of klalos arobas, Moshe Rabbeinu gives a musa shmus to the Bnei Yisrael. He says, "Well, anasan Hashem l'chaim leiv l'adas ve'naim l'rosh v'azaim l'shmaya ad ayam azeh." After 40 years of teaching you Torah, it finally penetrated. He's been teaching Torah since Maimon HaSinai. Finally penetrated. So the Gemara says that sometimes ain't on Maimon al das rabba ad lachar aboyim shana. There are a lot of things that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik 40 years ago, and at the time that he said, I thought, the man is off his mind. What is he talking about? Making up things. Where did he get it from? And 40 years later, it dawns upon me. Wait, that's what it says in the Mishnah. That's what it says in the Gemara. He was just saying over Pasuk and Chumash. I never realized that's what it says. A lot of times it takes 40 years. A lot of times it takes 40 years. That's what the Gemara comments on this Pasuk. So the Gemara says in connection with this, therefore, when a young boy gets smicha at the age of 26, he shouldn't pass Kanani Shadas to the age of 40. He really shouldn't pass Kanani Shadas to the age of 40. He hasn't been learning 40 years. That's not the same. Tosis points out, 40 years after he heard the learning, it takes 40 years till it really sinks in. He hasn't been learning from the day that he was born. So that's a problem. How did Gemara say age of 40? But that's what it says in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, that unless you're in a community where there's no other Talmid Chacham who is older than 40, so you really shouldn't pass Kanani Shadas. Let's say on Shabbos, you can't call on the telephone, so you got no choice. But otherwise, the Gemara says that before the age of 40, it's not right to pasken. The Gemara talks. The Gemara has a terminology: tzurva midirabbanon, a young Talmid Chacham. How young does he have to be? He's called the young Talmid Chacham. So Ephraim Zalman Margolius has a sefer on Chumash Rashi. So on this pasuk, he says a young Talmid Chacham means before the age of 40. After the age of 40, he's allowed to pasken. Before the age of 40, that's called the tzurva midirabbanon. So the Gemara says he really shouldn't pasken any shilas unless he's in a community where there's nobody else over 40 to consult. Moshe Rabbeinu in his Musa Shmus at the end of the parsha reviews again about the traveling in the Midbar for 40 years. So he says, look at all the nisim and the flaws that happened. You were wearing the clothing that you left Mitzrayim with, and 40 years it should get all ruined. Your clothing didn't get ruined. And little babies left Mitzrayim, they left with baby clothing, and the clothing grew. Rashi quotes, like the turtle. The shell on the turtle grows. As the turtle gets bigger, so the shell grows. So the clothing on the babies at the time of Tzias Mitzrayim, the clothing grew with the Bnei Yisrael, and it didn't get worn out 40 years to wear the same clothes. Should get worn out. And your shoes didn't get ruined. You wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years. How can it be? It's all going to get ruined. The shoes didn't get ruined. So the Gemara in the third parak in Ma'id Katan has a suffix. Is a menuda allowed to wear shoes or not? One was put in Nidui. They're allowed to wear shoes or not. The Gemara has a discussion. And the Gemara said, the Aboyim Shana, that the Jews were traveling in the Midbar after the Chet HaEgel, they were all menudim la'shamayim. So why does the Gemara quote the pasuk? It says they were wearing shoes. Why does the Gemara quote the pasuk? So the Gemara should have quoted it. The Gemara could have rejected the proof and said maybe the nidui la'shamayim, menudim la'shamayim, is kal. But the Gemara should have raised the issue. The Gemara has a shayla whether menuda is also b'tashmash amita. The Gemara says Bnei Yisrael were menudim la'mokam for 40 years, and they had children in the midbar. They were living with their wives. So can't you prove that the menuda is muta b'tashmash amita? The Gemara says maybe menuda la'shamayim is kal. We're not sure. Is it kal? Is it more kal? Is it more chomer? Or is it equal to regular menuda? So that's what the Korban Nisanal on the bottom of the Rosh raises the question. The Gemara has the suffix whether menuda is allowed to wear shoes. Why did they quote the pasuk na'al bosom na'al raglecha and then say you can dingzach maybe menuda la'shamayim is shiny to kill? They should have raised the issue. The Gemara doesn't even quote the pasuk. That's his kasha. How come the Gemara doesn't quote the pasuk? This Shabbos we learn again. There are shev d'nechemta, the seven haftaras after Tisha B'Av. There's plus the Puranusa, three haftaras before. And then you have the Shev the Nechemta, the seven haftaras of Nechama. No, we hope to see the Nechama very soon. Okay.